we got a little bit off square one during the during those whatever they were 8 weeks where the Congress was more or less and Washington was more or less holding its breath for the super committee to come up with a deal on the $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction. And there were a lot of people interested in a lot of tangential issues, big and small, everything from postal service overhaul to, I don't know, you name it, the corn subsidies and lots in between. They were all waiting with bated breath for the super committee to take those issues off their hands and wrap them all into one big giant bill. And during all that time, really the only thing that got done that the listeners to this show might care about, as they all know by now, was that one appropriations bill got finished that wrapped together three of the normal dozen bills. But that was about it. And so now there's just a ton to do in what they say is going to be only 3 weeks of work, starting essentially tomorrow. But I think with each passing hour, it looks like Congress will be at work beyond December 16th, which is that their current target for going home, and may even be around until December 23rd.
See, that's where I was actually going to go next, David, is there's no way they can get all this stuff done unless they just decide to punt, as we've seen them do a number of times in the recent past.
That's exactly right. I mean, they've got so many issues. It's going to take them most of this week just to get the test vote done in the Senate on one of these issues, which is the so-called payroll tax holiday, the proposed extension of that. That will probably take up most of the Senate's time this week. The House isn't even planning on tackling any of these top-tier issues this week at all. So then you've only got, you know, by their measure, 2 weeks left. So, right, so the easiest thing to do, as you just suggested, is to kick it all into the new year. The people who believe in in settling questions before the end of the year and starting fresh are really working hard against that, but they're working against a very, very tight schedule and lots of stiff resistance. As you all know, when Congress tends to lock horns and go into stiff resistance mode, gridlock generally wins.
Yeah. I see some little glimmers of hope here and there when I look at your coverage and your colleagues' coverage in CQ and on rollcall.com and in the paper. And that is just things here and there that make you think, well, this isn't maybe a lost cause, that the whole super committee exercise wasn't completely futile. And usually they revolve around pieces that we heard talked about where somebody on one side or the other that you wouldn't necessarily expect says, I might be able to go along with that. And you mentioned the payroll tax thing. That's one thing that got kicked around in the super committee, and folks now are saying, well, maybe we can come to some kind of agreement on that. Is there hope that some of these pieces might be able to get put together at some time in the future? Maybe not necessarily the whole puzzle, but a couple of them might be able to be used?
Yes, there's some hope, but countermanding that hope, and not to bog down too much in a civics discussion, but the key thing about the super committee was, had they been able to come up with a deal, it would have been shielded from any amendment and any delaying tactics. It would have been an up or down vote, take it or leave it vote on the entire package. It couldn't have been picked apart by Congress. It couldn't have been delayed by filibuster in Congress. Those magic protections for the super committee's work have now gone away.
Mm.
So, say, for example, there was talk that the leaders of the agriculture committees, for example, were close to agreeing. The Republican chairman in the House, a guy named Frank Lucas, the Democratic chairwoman in the Senate, Debbie Stabenow, were close to agreeing on a $25 billion or so package of reductions in farm subsidies that they thought they could get through. They could get Congress to swallow that bitter pill if it was part of a much larger bitter pill.
Mm-hmm.
But they really hold out no hope now that kind of cut can survive on its own and be if it's subject to the normal amendment process and legislative process. So, yes, there are a few, certainly the Republicans say, yes, let's extend this payroll tax holiday. Some of them do. It might cost $100 billion next year. Let's pay for that with some of the cuts that had been tentatively agreed to by both sides in the super committee. But I don't think it's going to be that easy.
All right. Your opinion to close out here, and I know you don't normally do opinions, but I'm going to stick you there anyway. 2 to 5 years from now, when we look back on the super committee, will we think of this as an Edsel, as just a thing that was a total bomb and didn't work? Will we think of it as something as, well, they gave it a good old try and it just didn't work? Or will it be forgotten to the point where people, because it was so unsuccessful, people just don't even remember that, that they tried it in the first place.
Probably option three. I think I think that the good government crowd is hoping that the super committee's failure or impasse or whatever word you want to choose will remind Congress that to return to sort of civics and good government 101, that it'll remind Congress that there's a system in place for getting legislation done. It's the regular system, the regular order, and that even a super committee couldn't get things done, so they may as well go back and redouble their efforts to get things done during the using the so-called regular order of things, committee markups, House and Senate floor debates, conference committees. All those things have worked more often than not over the last 100 years. It seems to have completely fallen apart this year, and so maybe they have nowhere to go but sort of back to the regular way of doing business.
Back to doing things the old-fashioned way, huh?
Exactly.